The page refreshed. This time, Tallon smiled. Great, only 3 entries. Rachel squinted at the first name on the list. Limulus Polly something. Tallon checked the entry. A photo appeared. The creature looked like an oversized horseshoe crab without a tail. Nope, Tallon said, returning to the previous page. Rachel eyed the second item on the list. Shrimpus Ugliest from Hellas. She was confused. Is that name for real? Tallon chuckled. No, it's a new species not yet classified. The guy who discovered it has a sense of humor. He's suggesting Shrimpus Ugliest as the official taxonomical classification. Tallon clicked open the photo, revealing an exceptionally ugly, shrimp-like creature with whiskers and fluorescent pink antenna. Aptly named, Tallon said, but not our space bug. He returned to the index. The final offering is? He clicked on the third entry and the page came up. Bithynimus giganteus, Tallon read aloud as the text appeared. The photograph loaded. A full-color close-up. Rachel jumped. My God! The creature staring back at her gave her chills. Tallon drew a low breath. Oh, boy. This guy looks kind of familiar. Rachel nodded, speechless. Bithynimus giganteus. The creature resembled a giant swimming louse. It looked very similar to the fossil species in the NASA rock. There are some subtle differences, Tallon said, scrolling down to some anatomical diagrams and sketches. But it's damn close, especially considering it had 190 million years to evolve. Close is right, Rachel thought. Too close. Tallon read the description on the screen. Thought to be one of the oldest species in the ocean, the rare and recently classified species Bithynimus giganteus is a deep-water scavenging isopod resembling a large pill bug. Up to 2 feet in length, this species exhibits a chitinous exoskeleton segmented into head, thorax, abdomen. It possesses paired appendages, antennae, and compound eyes like those of land-dwelling insects. This bottom-dwelling forager has no known predators and lives in barren, pelagic environments previously thought to be uninhabitable. Tallon glanced up. Which could explain the lack of other fossils in the sample. Rachel stared at the creature on the screen, excited and yet uncertain she completely understood what all this meant. Imagine, Tallon said excitedly, that 190 million years ago, a brood of these Bithynimus creatures got buried in a deep ocean mudslide. As the mud turns into rock, the bugs get fossilized into stone. Simultaneously, the ocean floor, which is constantly moving like a slow conveyor belt toward the oceanic trenches, carries the fossils into a high-pressure zone where the rock forms chondrules. Tallon was talking faster now. And if part of the fossilized, chondrilized crust broke off and ended up on the trench's accretionary wedge, which is not at all uncommon, it would be in a perfect position to be discovered. But if NASA, Rachel stammered, I mean, if this is all a lie, NASA must have known that sooner or later someone would find out this fossil resembles a sea creature, right? I mean, we just found out. Tallon began printing the Bithynimus photos on a laser printer. I don't know. Even if someone stepped forward and pointed out the similarities between the fossils and a living sea louse, their physiologies are not identical. It almost proves NASA's case more strongly. Rachel suddenly understood. Panspermia. Life on Earth was seeded from space. Exactly. Similarities between space organisms and Earth organisms make excellent scientific sense. The sea louse actually strengthens NASA's case. Except if the meteorite's authenticity is in question. Tallon nodded. Once the meteorite comes into question, then everything collapses.